School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
What's up, friends, and welcome to another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name is Justin Deering, and I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications. Unless you've been living under a rock, you know that short-form video is taking over social media. From TikTok to Instagram Reels, these are more than just trending dance videos. As school PR professionals, we have to research and learn about emerging technology all the time. And today's guest, Melissa Reese, is here to help even the most skeptical of PR pros step out and check out Instagram Reels to help support and boost student engagement.
We're excited to welcome back Class Intercom as a sponsor for Season 4 of School PR Happy Hour. Class Intercom is a social media management tool designed specifically for schools and districts. Class Intercom allows for social media content creation from an unlimited amount of users, including students, in a safe and carefully moderated way. It also has built-in reporting and archiving for one school-friendly price. Learn more at classintercom.com.
I'm excited today to talk a little bit about a social media platform that I'm growing to love more and more every day, and about an Inspire presentation that, as I was sitting at home watching Twitter, I just saw continuous talk and buzz about this presentation. So I immediately wrote down, we need to get on here and talk about Instagram Reels with Melissa Reese. So Melissa, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being here.
Awesome. Thanks. I'm so excited.
So you are the comms manager there in Allentown School District. So tell me a little bit about your district. Tell me a little bit about how you got to where you're at and your journey through school PR.
Sure. So we're about an hour outside of Philly, the largest, third largest urban district in Pennsylvania. So go Eagles. Sorry, have to say it. I have been with my district about 5 years.
Oh, hold on a second. We got a game on. This comes out way this, but we're recording 2 days before the Cowboys versus Eagles game, and I was unaware that we were going to go there. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep going. Jim Cummings will love that.
That's okay.
Sorry.
So, like I said, about an hour outside of Philly. I've been with my district about 5 years now. And before getting into school PR with the district side, I worked with an agency, and my clients were mostly parochial, charter schools, private institutions in the state. That's how I really found my love for school PR. Prior to that, I was in like sports, nonprofit, live entertainment. So always like to be the kind of person who is sharing those fun, positive stories. In Allentown, we're also an urban district, so we come with a lot of challenges and stigma that that come with serving a large Black and brown population. We're 75% Hispanic, so a lot of the work that I do is also in Spanish, which is a lot of fun, even though I'm not a native Spanish speaker, which I find reaching our audience. Social media helps. Like, yes, I try and implore upon our parents that there are direct methods of communication, and this is how you need to reach the district the right way. But honestly, sometimes when it comes to celebrating our students and our staff and our families, social media is a great way to do it. And I've done a lot with Instagram Reels over the last year to up that engagement and that positivity on our social channels.
Well, I'll tell you, I went through, you know, the last couple of days leading up to this and clicked through a lot of the stuff you're doing on Instagram, but also spent time on your Twitter, and y'all do a great job of just keeping everybody informed with all the cool things that are going on. And, you know, you mentioned that you have to, you know, you're trying to train the parents. Hey, there's easier ways to do this communicating thing other than hoping we see your tweet. That's everywhere though. I think, yeah. I think it just depends on, like, I mean, in my previous couple districts, one of them, man, if you put it on social media, you put it on anything, they're not going to see it unless you email it straight into their inbox. But then the district before that, they're like, stop emailing us. And we're like, we email you once a month. Like, and they're like, nope, don't email us. Put it on Twitter. We don't want to see it. We'll talk to you there. So I think it's just knowing your audience and really assessing where they're at. But also there is a bit of training in there because we really work towards, hey, like you can eat the emails are pretty useful, like, or the phone is pretty useful. So let's talk a little bit about Instagram Reels and what you've seen. Like when you started thinking about this and diving into it, first and foremost, there's a lot of naysayers out there that basically just say, it is TikTok and I'm not doing that. So I want to start there. I want to start with the people that are pushing back. So if you hear someone say it's TikTok, it's just TikTok and it's just Facebook and Instagram's way of competing with TikTok, and I'm sure not getting involved in trendy dances and whatever challenges of the week that they're having on that. So what's your response to that kind of pushback or criticism?
So I love TikTok too. I love all of it. I think if you're going to, and I'm just like looking at my account right now, it's a different way to present information. And Instagram is, it's no secret, they're favoring Reels now. They're favoring video. So if you are posting a graphic, and the example I always use with our buildings is, what are you going to stop and scroll? What's going to stop you from scrolling? Is it a picture of the flyer that says cheerleading tryouts are 3:00 on Tuesday? Probably not. Is it a picture of your senior cheerleaders with a caption that says cheerleading tryouts 3:00 on Tuesday? Or is it a video that's saying, hey Huskies, I'm Melissa, I'm your cheer captain for the year, and I can't wait to see you on Tuesday at 3:00. Come audition and be a part of the cheerleading squad. Which of those things is going to stop you from scrolling? Which is going to stop your students from scrolling past it? And which is going to stop the parents that might go, huh, I might want to get my kid involved in that. So it's just another way of presenting the information. And then when you're talking about celebrating our students and staff, I've shifted my mindset being in the buildings and being at events where, yes, I'm there to take pictures. I have my DSLR camera. I have IT helping me with a live stream or whatever it is. But there's so many times where instead of, you know, going like this, I now shift this way, take a couple pictures, but also start taking video. And that's really changed my mindset. And I started that the beginning of last school year. I made a goal. I wanted to post one reel a week. And I was kind of just doing it as almost our weekly recap. So instead of on Fridays, instead of saying, hey, here's three things that happened at elementary, middle, and high school this week, I would do that. But then I would make it a reel too. So I'd take video from the same events. I wasn't making new content for the sake of making reels. I was taking what I already had from throughout the week that I had kind of stockpiled and banked to make those videos. Now I still try and do the same thing for events. I have a little bit of help. We have a new athletics guy who's really, really amped up. So you might see him in some of our videos, but he's also out there helping me capture content. And he's really, I mean, his focus is definitely sports, but he's really, really energetic and also has an eye for what good content is. So he's helping me in that sense. For people that are pushing back, I mean, I think we have one trending dance on our page and I made two mascots do it and they were two kids. So they were fine. You know, I have a couple others that trying to play off some of the trends where you ask a question, you get different responses. So, you know, leading up to the start of this school year, I had some of our building leaders I asked them, what advice do you have for incoming freshmen? And then I asked some kindergarten teachers, what advice do you have for kindergarten families? So little things like learn how to, make sure your child knows how to tie their shoes, or make sure your child knows how they're getting home at the end of the day. What bus do they take? Are they going to daycare? Are you picking them up? Those are things that I didn't think about. But the kindergarten teachers were able to get that info out. And I did three in each of those series. The first one reached 15,000 people, which was crazy.
That's awesome.
And I can't help but think, if I put an email out that said, make sure your kid knows how to tie their shoes and knows how you're getting home, that the parents would have blown right past it.
So let's talk about that audience that you've got there. Cause you know, there's big conversations through school PR, through all these K-12 PR chats, all of the presentations that we go to at our state and national conferences about knowing your audience for that platform. So a couple years ago in one of my previous districts, we really focused our Instagram on attracting students to follow. And we gave, and I've talked about it before, I gave the reins to about 15 kids and said, y'all go run my Instagram. I'll just send them to me first to make sure you spelled everything right. So from what I'm hearing, it sounds like your audience on your Instagram is a little different than you're not just going after students. You're trying to get parents there too. Is it that you're seeing that your audience, your parents are younger and that's where they're spending more time? Or like, what is your audience research showing you about what and who is where?
We do have a lot of younger parents in that like early 20s, early to late 20s breakdown in age, but we do see the kids too. And so my other favorite thing to do when I'm out, especially if it's at a football game or a play practice leading up to the musicals, I will tell the kids, you know, and some of them at this point, you know, the ones that are super involved know who I am, but I will tell them, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm taking pictures and videos for Instagram. I'm going to make a reel. I want to tag you guys in it. That way you can share it to your story easier and, you know, it pops up on their page. So I will get a bunch of them and I'll open like a note in my phone and pass my phone around the classroom and say, put your Instagram handle in here as long as it's clean. And I will tag you. So when I post, you know, don't forget next week is the musical, come see Grease. I tag the whole cast and that gets the kids excited to see it and see their faces. And then, you know, you got siblings and alumni. Now there are definitely a handful of accounts that I always see and I'm like, oh, right, that I remember that kiddo, or, oh, that's one of our teachers and that's a mom at this elementary. And so it's the ones that interact really frequently are really interacting with our account.
So you're using those students, and I'll just use the musical example. We're going to a musical tonight at my wife's campus. So we're seeing High School Musical.
Oh, the musical.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Let me tell you. But using that, just tagging those students, mm-hmm. and in a sense, you're doing influencer marketing.
Yeah.
They have their own audience that you probably don't have access to, and they have access to audiences outside of just your school. So I think that is a really good tactic to use there to, you know, get the message out there, because that's how we did it. We had our 15 interns. And when I was like, all right, y'all are taking it over and showcasing the band tonight on Friday night, I need to see every one of your Instagrams the next day blown up with all this stuff, because that's how we're going to get more people to pay attention. And we went from 1,000 student followers. And then the first month of football season, we were up to about 7,000 student followers. Like, we blew up the first month because we just handed it to them and said, have fun. So let's move on to, so you're gathering footage as you go out there, as you, you know, you're doing your normal photography, but now you're going horizontal and getting some video with your phone. Talk to me a little bit about the production process. So what are you using to edit these? Are you doing it through Adobe, or you got apps on your phone? Like, there's a ton of different ways to do this, but what is your production process look for making these reels?
Yeah, honestly, sometimes it's really easy, really low. I do have, right now, I have a 13 Pro iPhone. I have already discussed the option of getting a 14 Pro Max with IT. They told me to wait a little bit. but so I usually try and shoot in cinematic mode on my phone. That really does get some great imagery, especially if you're outside. And I think it's funny, a lot of our buildings are older. The lighting isn't great. And I will take my DSLR out there and I put the pictures on my computer the next day. I'm like, why is everything yellow? And I'm like, oh, well, the walls are yellow and the lights are yellow. Everything's yellow. But then I look at what I captured on my phone and it's so much better. So sometimes I can get really simple clips, dump them right into Instagram with minimal editing, put it over a trending audio and go from there. There are other times where I use an app called CapCut, which does help with a little bit more transitions. It'll help sync to the audio. Instagram is coming along with that kind of stuff. They allow you, if you have a slideshow of 10, 12 pictures and pick a song, it'll change the pictures on the beat. You can now add transitions in Instagram. There's only a half a dozen to choose from, so it's not the most extensive library if you really want to edit crazy videos. And then I practice on my personal account. I have a dog. I teach marching band. So for me, that's also two other content streams that mm-hmm. I can practice with on my other accounts. I definitely love all animal reels, all animal TikToks. You know, pets are great. And if you're afraid of trying, you know, if you don't want to take that next step on your school PR Instagram account yet, and you have a pet or a kid, That is endless content. If you want to try Reels to see, am I good at editing video? Am I good at capturing video? Is it engaging? Is it what people like? But yeah, it's not that difficult. I try and stay away from like the words and the stickers and the pictures, which I know goes against a lot of other Instagram advice. But my Reels are really, I try and keep them as simple as possible. And just highlighting our kids.
Hi everyone, my name is Julie Rodriguez, also known by the CISO team as J-Rod. I'm the digital media specialist on the CISO communications team, and this is your CISO top tip for this episode. As we continue to think of new and innovative ways to engage our audience, it's more and more evident every day that short form video is everything. From TikTok to Instagram Reels, videos are getting shorter, and producing impactful content is more crucial than ever. Melissa, today's guest, mentions a mobile-based app called CapCut that she uses from time to time to edit her Reels. We love this app. You can create content fast, even in the free version. If I was to say three of my favorite things about the CapCut app, it would be, number one, the editing is super quick and easy. Even though editing can be clunky on a phone, CapCut is really user-friendly and you can get your content posted faster. Number two, the free version actually has a good amount of stock sounds and animations. You can start creating content immediately after downloading the app and use trending up-to-date TikTok sounds. And number three, CapCut supports direct exports to TikTok, which is just another time saver when you're out and about and trying to tell your stories. Obviously, upgrading to the paid version opens up even more options for you, but as you're just getting started, the free version is perfect as you learn. Short form video is not going anywhere, and we hope this little tech tip helps you and your school district become TikTok famous. For more information on CISO communications, visit theciso.com or follow us on our social channels at CISOcom. At CISO, we partner with districts as we work together to rethink possible.
So we're going to go a little bit back to the naysayers of the Instagram world, because a lot of people, there's a lot of districts out there that have Instagram. There's a lot of districts out there that are like, yeah, we're not getting involved in that. Like we mentioned earlier, if I'm sitting here as a district communications director with Instagram, but all I'm doing is posting the flyers, posting the photos, posting, you know, one-off pictures, or maybe a carousel of five photos and a caption, link in bio as always, since you can't put a link in the description yet, obviously. I haven't done a reel yet. What's my first steps? And you just said just a second ago about practicing on your personal account, but if I'm ready to jump in and go school PR and just put it on my platform, what would you say the first steps for those folks would be when it comes to producing their first reel, sharing their first reel, and getting over the fear to hit submit?
Yeah. I mean, find something fun. I mean, mascots are another easy win. If you have your mascot dancing at a pep rally, it's like homecoming pep rally time. It's fall, it's football season. Get in front of your football team as they run on the field. Don't get run over. But you can't be afraid to get up close and personal. If it is just your mascot running down the track, that might be enough to make it that those first like 3 to 5 seconds. If you're elementary, just kids tapping the day of the week, you know, as they go through that morning routine. And then my other favorite is science experiments. If you have a classroom that's saying, hey, we're going to make volcanoes or we're going to blow up rockets, be there. And you know how great those pictures are already, but get video of that. And it doesn't have to be high level production, 10 minutes long. It can be a 3, 5, 7 second clip. And if you put it over the right audio, it's going to resonate with your audience. And then, I mean, I look at the analytics. We are living in a spot. I find it a little unfortunate that Instagram shifted all of their videos to Reels. I think as soon as that came out, I turned and said to my husband, I said, well, there goes my engagement and my reach. It's going to go down. We were hitting 15, 20,000 on every single reel. Since now, all videos are Reels. I feel like that's one of those like, is a square, I don't know, one of those math things. Now that all videos are Reels, I have seen a decrease. Some of them don't blow up as much or as fast, but I'm still consistently reaching thousands of people instead of hundreds, which is what happens when I post a flyer or just a regular carousel of pictures. And so, you know, the great thing about Reels is it's reaching purposely outside of people that already like your page. If you're posting whatever your regular content is, and if you're posting stories, it's only going to your followers. Reels has that ability to get put on someone's page that they don't necessarily follow you. And I think it also grows followers really easily, because once people see a couple and they're like, wait a minute, this is the school doing this? Oh, that's cool. I'll follow them. And that's the conversation I've had with a couple of kids. They're like, wait a minute, are you the one that did that with soccer? I'm like, yes. Like, whoa, that's cool. And then, you know, the whole boys soccer team is like, wait, what's the handle? Like, I got to follow you. So it's once people realize, like, we're doing more than just posting flyers and posting pictures, the analytics speak for themselves.
Awesome. So you mentioned in there that, you know, if you pick it and put it over the right trending audio or the right, you know, voice over from a TV show or whatever the trend is, what are you doing other than just scrolling through Instagram and TikTok like we all are? Are you doing anything intentional to know, like, are you taking notes on what you're seeing? Are you looking at any websites that say, hey, here's trending audio, here's something that you may want to use? I know there's a website I look at that's like this week's trends in TikTok, and then me and my 9-year-old try to figure out, hey, can we do any of these? We've yet to release one. We talk about it every week. We're afraid to blow up and go viral, honestly, because we just don't want that much attention. But what are you doing to check out those trends and understand that you're using the right audio and you're placing the right quotes in the right spot to drive that audience and get those people paying attention?
Yeah, definitely. So definitely a scroller. I mean, it happens. But what I've found is I usually see, like, so when you are, if you are Reels new, when you look at the reel, there will be a kind of scroll ticker across the bottom that tells you what audio is being used. If it has a little up arrow next to it, that means it's trending, which means that if you put something under that audio, it's going to get pushed to more accounts. So when I see that little, I go in, I listen to it, and I'm like, oh, okay, this one's clean, I can use it. And then I save it. And then I kind of, you know, there's a small part in my brain that is like, okay, that song was about this, that song was about power. So what's powerful? Sports. All right, next sports game, I'm going to go back, make sure that song is still trending, and then use that. We are, you know, sometimes I use like regular audio. We just put a piece together for Bullying Prevention Month. And if you follow PACER or any of those national bullying prevention organizations, they have a little pledge that kids can say. So I did the pledge. Not anything special, but in an attempt to make it reach more people, I put trending audio under it and then lowered the volume all the way down to 1. Hoped it would work. It didn't. I mean, it reached a decent number of people, but wasn't like blowing up national. We are not the face of bullying prevention as much as I wanted us to be. I thought it would be cute, a bunch of little kids saying a pledge. So, you know, it's that trial and error stuff. Gym class is another great example. If you can get kids running around, you know, anytime you're showing motion and activity in Reels too, because that video captures a little bit more. And then if you match the audio, you know, if it makes sense in your brain, I guess is the easiest way to do it. And then, you know, thankfully they always do have a little E next to the songs that you probably shouldn't use.
So we just talked about districts with Instagram, but aren't doing Reels. What are their first steps to do? What about those districts that are like, yeah, Instagram, I'm not doing that? And there's people out there in 2022 that are saying, yeah, we're not getting into Instagram, we're not going to share anything there. Convince them that Instagram is okay, it's not scary, and it's a great place to engage your audience.
It's not scary. First of all, I do have to give a plug for the work that Enspera is doing with schools and social media. I gave one of the testimonials on that. If you're afraid of Instagram because you're afraid of the verification process or reporting processes, or you've had issues in your district with bullying and spam accounts on Instagram, and that's the reason you're staying away, Enspera and so many of these other organizations are working really hard to hold social media companies accountable. And that is something I am so passionate about. If you're afraid because it is just another thing, it's another place people to go, I have to start at zero. I hate to praise Meta in any way, but Meta has made it easy to post on Instagram and Facebook at the same time. If you're in Business Suite or if you're in Creator Studio and your pages and your accounts are set up correctly, you can throw those carousel of pictures in, put the caption in, schedule it. And when I show our building leaders how to do that, I have 25 schools, so I don't do all of it. I have the ability to, but I try and give them a little bit of autonomy. And when I show them, like, look, you can take those three pictures from your phone, put it in Business Suite, and here it is. They're like, oh, it's not that bad. And if they're already putting pictures in Dojo or trying to figure out how to upload pictures to our website, which is complicated, like, this is the easier place. And I always talk about, you've got to meet your families where they are. And for sometimes that's sitting in the car line waiting for pickup. That mm-hmm. is walking the kid to school in the morning, waiting for the doors to open for breakfast. You look outside and the parents are all doing this. They're talking to each other, but they're also on their phones. And chances are they're on Facebook or Instagram, maybe Twitter. But I think if you then get the school or your district to say, hey, look, we're going to start an Instagram, there's tons of ways to up your engagement really, really quickly. And I think Reels is one of them. It's ways to get discovered on the platform.
Well, this is exactly what I hoped for whenever I saw the buzz and heard everybody talking about. This has been a very, like, just a good overview and, like, look inside to what you're doing every day. So I appreciate you sharing all that with us. I think that there is some fear out there about the TikToks and the Reels and the whatever else that is going to come out. But yeah. As we get older, the parents are going to get younger. That may not have sounded right, but I turned 40 in 3 days and I have a 9-year-old, but I have a friend across the street who just moved into this neighborhood who's 24 and has a 3-year-old. And I'm like, okay, so the ages are different. You've got to be able to reach parents where they're at. I'm a Twitter guy. I will always be a Twitter guy. Twitter's where I get my news. I was around when Twitter started and I joined within as quick as I could and I've never left. But I'm seeing more of me shifting to Instagram and TikTok. I mean, TikTok's now my new Yelp. I want to find a restaurant close. I go to TikTok, restaurants in Dallas, bam. And it tells me 50 of them. So I think it's important that we are thinking outside the box on how to reach these parents and things like that. This is also the third or fourth episode this season that someone has mentioned Class Dojo. It's huge this year. It's taking off this year. So maybe we need to do a show on Class Dojo. I don't know what we would say, but I do appreciate you sharing and just being vocal. And I also support everything Instagram's doing right now with the social media stuff, because we had so many bully accounts that we couldn't get removed and that needs to be fixed. That may be an episode we need to do as well.
Definitely. So
final question, and we ask everybody this. So talk to me a little bit about an influential teacher or administrator that, left an impact on your life and that's kind of led you to where you are today.
So I kind of mentioned in the beginning, I'm a marching band kid. I was in high school. I did marching band all 4 years and indoor color guard for those of you that are in that world. and my band director was great. And then immediately after I graduated, there's always, there's opportunities for higher level college marching band, independent groups. I was marching a couple of independent groups, but my former coach pulled me back and he was like, I need you to coach. And I was like, what? I'm 18. So he pulled me to a high school in a neighboring district and basically said, like, I need you to coach these kids. I'm like, all right. The band director there and the my coach who pulled me to that school, both of them, I coached at that school for 10 years. Before I moved to Pennsylvania, I lived in New Jersey. And I coached at that school for 10 years. And I can't read music. I don't play an instrument. But to have two people that were music educators and band directors, and the other one is at a middle school band, Tom Kershaw and Sam Brooks, they're still two of my closest friends. Look at them as mentors. And the marching band and color guard gives me a creative outlet when I'm already in a creative industry. So I love being in school PR because I feel like it is a creative industry and I can get to do a lot of really cool and fun and exciting things. But I know that we all as PR professionals also find, sometimes we get bogged down in that day to day or that crisis weighs on you. You know, I think it was Kristen Boyd Edwards that said, we are human shock absorbers in our role. And that really hits home. And so when I'm able to walk away from that and go to the marching band field and coach my kids and dance and get to teach and be creative and design shows that the kids enjoy, it's really awesome. And without those two people, when I was in high school and then shortly after while I was in college figuring out what I wanted to do, which was definitely not be a teacher, those two people really, really helped me and kind of guided having balance between, you know, your work and your hobby and all the other cool stuff that people get to do outside of work.
I think that's an important thing. First off, thanks for sharing that. But also, I do think it's important that school PR people have something other than school PR to do. Like, I know there has been, like, this year's the first year I actually have time to coach my daughter's basketball team. And I can't tell you how many tabs I have open on my computer that say 9-year-old girls basketball practice. Cause I know I love basketball. I don't know how to coach it, but I'm so pumped that every Thursday at 4:45 or 5, I'm going to leave here. We're going to go to the gym and we're going to practice for an hour and a half. Melissa, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your wisdom on Instagram and Reels and convincing those that may be scared to jump in and do some Reels with their dog on their personal account first and then move over to the school PR world. So thank you for being here. Thanks for being awesome. And just thanks for the work you do there in Allenstown.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it. Another episode of School PR Happy Hour. I want to thank Melissa again for sharing her excitement for Instagram Reels and short-form video. Look, friends, short-form video is not going anywhere. It's time to embrace it and analyze it and see if it's something that your community will resonate with. I challenge each of you out there to create a Reel or create a TikTok, even if it is just you and your dog, and let's see how this thing works. Now, if you create something cool with your dog and it's super cute, be sure to tag me in it at Deering22 on Instagram. That's pretty much my content that I dig over there. Thank you for listening and sticking with us on this adventure. Like Aaron always says, now let's go out there and be a little better at our jobs every day.